How we doing, gang? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Ed and Ken's mini podcast. I am back in the beautiful Gulf Coast of Florida. Ken, how you doing this morning?
Happy Tuesday, Ed. Happy Tuesday. I'm doing great, man. I think what a great week. What an awesome week we just had. For those of you that were at the Charge the Storm event, I went back and re-listened to our piece that we did, our live podcast, and I just kept smiling, man. I really thought that was just an awesome event, and the people that were in that room, were each one was more impressive than the next. It was awesome. And then we had our happy hour, right, in media and off the rail. Got to hang out with some of my closest and longest standing referral partners. I got to introduce some of them to you. And then we got cheesesteaks, father and son cheesesteaks. Come on. You can't top last week. I don't know. It's going to be very, very difficult.
That was a great week, but I will have, and then we'll get into some business here. I have found a bread. It's called the Tutu baguette from Publix, Tutto. It's the closest thing to Philly, Jersey, New York bread that you can find in Florida.
Well, when I'm in Florida, which I leave for Florida tomorrow, I'm taking myself, my brothers, wives, kids, nieces, nephews to Disney World. At one point, there's going to be about 21 of us wandering around the park. It's going to be awesome. And it's funny because, talking about this trip has been on our bucket list for a while. My nieces are 7 and 8 years old, and it's like time for them, and we were waiting for this, and then we kind of all planned it. I want to go back. I want to talk about your interview with Mike Cianci. So for those of you who don't know Mike, he's been talked about here in our conversations more than once. And just an incredibly impressive individual who writes a ridiculous amount of real estate transactions. When I met him, when he spoke, the word that I kept coming back to at the time was discipline. And that's what I was hearing. I was hearing discipline. And one of our guests had questioned Mike on sacrifice. And he took a step back and he was like, wait, I didn't say sacrifice. You did. It's so many words. He said, this is what happened when I did this. In other words, he said, when I stopped drinking, my production went up $20 million. He's like, I didn't give up drinking so that my production would go up $20 million. He's like, I gave up drinking and this is what happened. And then he gave up pizza, something seemingly innocuous, and he got even more successful. And it was just an amazing concept to me that I haven't stopped thinking about. And as I was driving home today, and I had a great dinner, by the way, with our friend Jay Duran last night. And if one of our topics of conversation was this. When we talk about sacrifice for what it is we want, are we really sacrificing, or are we simply just making room for the thing that we want? And if you want to be a highly productive loan officer, you don't have to sacrifice anything, really. You just have to clear the area for the thing that you want. If you were building a house, you'd have to cut the trees, level the ground, and prepare the area, make room for that thing. If you wanted to buy a new couch, you're not sacrificing the old couch. You're simply making room for the new couch, right? And I just can't stop. I just keep bouncing around all different versions and facets of this concept of sacrifice versus making room, because people view the word sacrifice as a negative thing or a connotation, like, oh man, this is one thing I can't have. And that's really not it, is it?
Yeah. Were you reading like Marcus Aurelius this morning? You're awfully like, you're awfully like connected to some kind of source.
I'm telling you, this has been rattling around like a pinball for a week. And I'm like, I can't wait to talk to Ed about this.
Yeah. So I call that Cianci Unplugged. And I know the one awesome thing that we did not want was the typical blah, blah, blah agent panel. Look at me. I'm holier than thou. If you did what I do, you could be like me. Blah. I'm just so anti-guru these days. So what I hear you saying, we have a choice. Mike had a choice of the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. That's it. We can either have the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. Now we get to choose like our disciplines. And I believe everybody's different. Everybody has an interest in different disciplines. Your disciplines are different than my disciplines. However, these disciplines make our life easier. And like I said, it's like, we have a choice. We can either walk through life in hip-high mud and struggle with everything, or we can take the time to clear the mud out of the way and then walk and think freely and operate freely. And that is a decision I believe that most of us, a lot of human beings will go to something like we did on Monday, or they'll go to a Tony Robbins event, or they'll go to something, and they're going there to literally get high, Ken. They're literally there to make themselves feel better, but they haven't changed anything, and they're probably not going to change anything. And therefore, nothing will change. And I literally could name 10 wonderful human beings who have been telling me the same story, just like I told people the same story for many years. They're not going to change. And every year,
you use that
like IRS debt. Oh, how's your drinking going? Oh, I'm going to start. I have to. And I get it, man, but it's the cool thing about a decision is once we make a decision, we never have to think about it again.
But I think that oversimplifies it. I think, you know, and it's true. Don't get me wrong. I believe it 100%. But I think where a lot of us in our, you know, when we're talking about empowerment, we're talking about growth and change. And I've been on this journey, and you've been on this journey for a long time. And it's one of my favorite things that I've done is really turn to the idea of improvement and growth. If it was just that simple of a decision that would change everything, then I don't know that we'd have, you know, addiction and obesity and, you know, dysfunction and you know, self-limiting, you know, realities. You self-limiting is an identity. Whether born of many things, and we've talked about the dinner table, right? Growing up at the dinner table, your identity is formed through what you experience, what you witness with your friends, your family, your peers, your pastor, your teachers, the words that were spoken to you as a child, the words that were spoken about you. When you weren't in the room and you found out later, like all of these things have a way of kind of molding and creating your identity. And once you identify as something, it's very, very difficult to change that. And can be a good thing and a bad thing. You talk to people that say that they're unlucky. They identify as unlucky. They have convinced themselves through various, you know, self-fulfilling prophecies that they're just unlucky. And they live with it. And that's who I am. I'm just an unlucky guy. they're not going to easily make a decision to say, I'm lucky now. It takes a lot of work to unravel the knots of thought patterns that put you in that place of unlucky. And the second you could say it, right? You can go to a rally that says, you are now lucky. Everybody here is lucky. Walk out of here and be lucky. But if you still identify as unlucky and you haven't done the work to untangle the knots of the thought patterns that put you there, you're not, 5 minutes later, you're going to be right back to where you started. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with loan officers. I see it all the time with loan officers. I don't do this or I don't do that. Or, you know, you're good at that. I'm not, you know. There are, and I'm not to a certain, you know, zone of genius and all that stuff aside, but if you identify as, and I did this for a better part of my career, as the hardworking loan officer that was there for everybody, for every call, never miss a call everybody back, you know, like it had to be me. It held me back for so long. I identified with the effort, the work, which is admirable, but I wasn't identifying with the result. I wasn't identifying as a top producing loan officer. I was identifying as a grinder. I took pride in that. You know, I was a grinder. And that was my identity. That's who I was. Nobody outworks Kenny Jordan. Mm-hmm. And I guess in some ways that helped me, but it absolutely also held me back. And it took me a while to unravel the thought processes and patterns that put me in that identity to change how I view myself. So, and if you argued with me, man, you got fierce pushback. And I know that you've seen it. And as a coach, you've had to know when you touch a nerve and someone pushes back real hard, you're like, okay, you're holding on to an identity, right? Mm-hmm. Why do we as humans, why do we have such a strong passion for protecting that identity?
Number one, if we consider having to change our identity, then we have to admit that we've been wrong. No one likes to admit that they're wrong or they've been wrong. And, you know, I wrote down a couple of things, like the number one thing that I love about human beings is courageous human beings. One thing I would say, the one word I would give Mike Cianci is he's very courageous.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think I told you, I remember the first video I made, like, I think I made him do it. He was literally had something written down, like on a ripped piece of cardboard taped to the phone and, or the camera, whatever we were using. And he's been very courageous. But something else too is, like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I'm sure you've had, but I've been watching a Netflix documentary called Medal of Honor. And, you know, you and I sit here and talk about helping loan officers produce more and leadership and real estate agents doing this. And it's like, here I'm watching, you know, guys from World War One, Two, Korea, Vietnam, the Desert Storm, the Gulf Wars, like who literally have taken like on like 100 people by themselves. And it's like, that's how do I even compare what I do or what we do to them? Like it's a joke almost. So it's almost like, all right, Ed, how about if you get out of your head, number one. And you know, the reality is that when we simply, there's three ways we can listen. Then I want to hear back from you. And I've stopped saying this because I think I just needed a change, but there's three ways people listen. They listen to agree. They listen to disagree. If you choose one of those two options, you stop listening and you start building a case of why you agree or disagree. Or you can listen in the third way, and that's just to listen. And what I want real estate agents to listen to is that the game has changed and that they have a decision to make about what platform they use to operate their business from. And there's clearly one that is has changed the game, and it's going to change the game. And they have a choice of either joining it and going, hey, let me be courageous enough to get the information here and to find out what my portfolio will look like 7 years from now. Or I can keep the identity of, no, I'm staying here. I'm going to enjoy paying my broker 10 times more than I should and not getting anything in return. That's their choice. And at the end of 7 years, again, they can either have the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And a lot of them are going to have a pain of regret because they're going to wake up January 1st and go, holy shit. Yeah, I made $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 last year again.
And these are the people that identify as, you know, I always miss the boat. I never, you know, I'm never this fortunate to be given the opportunity. And when you identify a certain way, even if something that comes along is better for you, you still resist it because it's not how you, and think about that. People resist the activities and the opportunities and the blessings that bring success because God forbid I actually get successful. I have to change who I am. I have to become someone else. I have to clear the path and make room for the success. And that includes questioning and changing who you think you are and challenging your identity is a part of making room, not to, you know, to kind of bring it back full circle. I think that to make room for that which you want in life, one of the first things you have to do is really take a hard look at yourself and how do you identify? You know, do you identify as a business owner or as a salesperson? At Princeton, we have a phenomenal model of transparency where me as a loan officer, I get to run my business as a business owner. I'm given 100% transparency around revenue. I'm given 100% transparency around costs. I'm given the ability to manage my revenue and my costs as a business owner, just like every other business owner in the world. And loan officers that identify as salespeople, they don't even want that. I literally gave this opportunity to someone, said, you know, explaining the benefits of this power producer model where you have the transparency and you have the ability and the power to make these choices. And I'm like, if I wanted to be a P&L branch manager, I'd be a P&L branch manager. Almost as if to say, I'd rather somebody else control my revenue. I'd rather somebody else control my expenses. I'd rather fight every single day with my manager because I need help on a rate and I'm not willing to be responsible for my expenses. And, you know, I have a loan officer assistant that is, you know, costing me a fortune that I don't actually need, but you don't see it. So ignorance and they literally stay in that place of $6 to $8 to $10 million. When if they flip the switch, if they unraveled the thought processes that created the identity of $10 million loan officer, and they made room for the identity of a $25 to $50 million loan officer, then they'd be a $25 to $50 million loan officer.
I was looking for something. You had just mentioned something.
Were you listening to agree? Were you listening to disagree?
I was listening to think of what am I going to say next? No, I agree 1,000%. And it was... about us, if we act like salespeople, we will be treated like salespeople. Like real estate sales is not actually real estate sales. If that's the case, if you treat it that way, then you're going to be treated like a salesperson. And look, if an agent likes that discipline and that lights them up, more power to you. Like, go ahead. But if you know your stuff and you know that you are a great advisor and can lead someone through transactions, you're going to sit in a much better place. And I will put it in the show notes. I'll look for it. But it was more brilliantly stated than that when I posted it. But it's just the truth. Like if we're gonna act like salespeople, we're gonna be treated like salespeople. I don't want to be treated like a salesperson.
No. And it's funny you use that word leader, because it came up in the event last week. And it fits right into what we're talking about. If you want to influence people to do what's in their best interest, people follow leaders. That's who they follow. People are attracted to, they listen to, and they will take direction from leaders. Most of us don't identify as leaders. Most of us don't identify as leaders. And the reason why most of us don't identify as leaders is because we haven't taken the necessary steps to lead ourselves. And that's where, you know, the words like discipline and commitment come into play. It's like, do you do the things that you say you're going to do? Where is your integrity airtight in that area? Do you have, as you say, the mountain of evidence that suggests that you have done what you say you're going to do? Once you begin to lead yourself and start to trust yourself as a leader, then you can start to identify as a leader. And once you start to identify as a leader, you stop convincing people, and people start convincing themselves to work with you, and convincing themselves that you're the person they need to listen to, and convincing themselves that they're the one, you're the one that they need to work for, and you're the company, you're at the company they need to work for. So, I mean, and again, it all comes back to, A, do I identify as a leader? If the answer is no, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to have in my life to begin to identify as a leader? And then once you know what those things are, okay, now, how do I make room for those things? And it could look like time spent reading instead of watching TV. Am I sacrificing TV, even if you love your binge watching your shows? Am I sacrificing TV, or am I just simply making room for reading so that I can then do the work on myself to identify as a leader? And it's a neurolinguistic change, but I'm not going to use the word sacrifice anymore. I may never. Last time I said I'll never use the word unpack, and you called me on it. So I'm not going to say I'll never use the word sacrifice again. But if you hear me use that word sacrifice, stop me. Because I don't think that word has any value left for me. I think that it's just simply a question of what do I need to do to make room for the thing that I want.
Love it, man. And at the end of the day, all of this comes down to quantum physics. And when we look at Asiansi and his videos, what you feel from him is real. He walks with a purpose because he knows he didn't drink a bottle of wine the night before. He knows he hit the gym. He knows he got a good night's sleep. He knows that he took that couple of minutes that he and his wife do now to hug and connect, let their hearts connect every day. And you can see it in, I call it the it factor, with the agents who are doing their videos and they just look and feel awkward. And the vibe you get is, wow, that looks weird. They could be doing the same exact thing as Mike Cianci. But the vibe, it's literally quantum physics. It's an energy that vibrates off of them. This is science, is different than a Cianci. And that's because the little voice inside them saying, hope these people don't know what you did last night. Do they know that, you know? Yeah.
It's real. That's very, very true, man.
We're going deep, baby. We're going deep.
We went deep here. I hope we didn't go too far deep that nobody can find us. But this is all – I want to continue to talk about this concept. I want to continue to work on myself using that word sacrifice and really pushing it aside, and like you, great analogy. If you want a better relationship with your spouse, make room. Make room for them, right? Make room for them in your life. And what does that look like? It looks like maybe carving out in your calendar the time for connection on that. So all good stuff, man. I wish we had these conversations every day, but we have to leave them wanting more, Ed. That's part of show business, man. We can't give it to them every day. We got to give it to them once a week, every Tuesday. I don't even know when these things actually go on the podcast, but we record them on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Do you have an action item for everybody?
So yes, and it comes from a failure of mine last Monday. So the action item is be very purposeful with your schedule, with your intent, and be disciplined with the time frames. So if you remember at the end of Monday, I said, oh, by the way, I'm doing this end of decade and lifetime, blah, 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 blah. I got like five calls going, dude, what was that thing that you said at the end? If I had the identity that I am the best from the stage, I would have left 10 to 12 minutes out. I would have had a QR code and I would have said, hey, look, for just 10 people, I'm going to do something that Cianci right there, Brad Moore, Stephen Talon did in 2020. They committed to and invested in a decade of coaching. I'm giving that opportunity to you, but for just 10 people, scan a QR code, get started today. I didn't prepare.
Yeah, we did spend a little more time on that.
Be prepared. Get prepared. Take the time to prepare. Take the time to rehearse. Have the discipline to say, Ken, do you have, and by the way, I know you would do this for any real estate agent, and as I would. Do you have 40 minutes today that I can practice my listing presentation on you? That's it. Have the discipline to do that.
I love that. You just gave me a new idea. I'm going to jot that down. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm going to jot it down so I don't forget.
That's okay. That's all right. It's okay. You also didn't order pickles on my cheesesteak. That was a test last week.
But then I did it. I called it Skinny Joe's in the video, and it's Skinny Joey's. I was in, like, what are you thinking, KJ? What are you doing? Skinny Joey's.
Dude, I mean,
I was drinking the whole video.
Dude, you're going to be swimming with the fishes anyway with the 9.7 rating. I'm like, Jesus, what's wrong with you, dude?
Listen, what's right is right, Ed. What's right is right. All right, man. I enjoyed this as always. We will catch up next week. Have a great week, my man.
Yeah, man. You too.